Hello, Governor. How are you?
Kara, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, and you're on the road today. Where are you headed?
I am. I'm on my way back to Jefferson City, but we've had a day of meetings in St. Louis, including the St. Louis Agricultural Club. So that was a good group to get in front of today. But yep, we're on our way back to Jefferson City.
Thanks for finding
Not
time in
going.
your schedule to chat.
You bet.
Quickly, we're going to cover a few things, I'm hoping, in this interview today, and we can start with this rural health transformation plan. I saw where the proposal has been sent, essentially to the administration, but backing up here and diving into the details, how do you see this proposal helping rural residents here in the state?
Yeah, well, first of all, let me say this about the rural health plan is that it's this historic opportunity for Missouri to take advantage of some of our shortcomings in healthcare all across our state, including rural Missouri. But a big shout out to the team, both at our team internally in the governor's office, our various health departments, and folks who worked on it from a Missouri standpoint, as well as stakeholders from around the state, from hospital groups to physician groups to multiple different provider groups to we worked, I mean, multiple people worked round the clock for months to put the best application forward. So you have to give credit where credit's due. It's not me, it's great people that we surround ourselves with, including Jess Bax and her team, who have really done a really good job. Department of Social Services, Department of Health, Department of Mental Health, all those folks have been really involved. Having said all that, as you know, this funding became possible because of the One Big Beautiful Bill that was passed back in July, where there was funding put in for not just healthcare systems, $50 billion. Half of that went to states in the form of subsidy for various healthcare systems, but the other half is competitive. So we are competing with 50 other states to get as much of the other half as we can. And I believe that the resources that we receive can accomplish our core goals, which is to expand access to primary and specialty care, strengthen provider sustainability, I'm sorry, and improve health outcomes in Missouri, including chronic disease, mental health challenges, and behavioral health concern. We think that's accomplished by improving healthcare across rural Missouri by connecting providers, pharmacies, public health agencies, at-home resources and digital health tools that will really work through our unified regional network.
Do you think telehealth will be beneficial to a lot of the rural residents in Missouri? I think of like my parents, for example, who are in a rural area that really like to go in person when they can.
Yeah, I went to a healthcare summit in St. Louis just a couple of months ago where the primary focus on it was to telehealth. Our broadband access has improved significantly over the last couple of years, and I got to give a shout out to BJ Tanksley, who's been working on expanding our high-speed coverage across the state. So that has to come first, and that is being implemented in many parts of the state. But telehealth will definitely be a key piece of how we reach more rural residents and how we reach more seniors across all of our state. It's a critical component to what we need to make this work.
I also see where I know in a letter that you sent to the administration, you referenced refocusing Missouri's SNAP program, and that the waiver that was sent to USDA was sent about 2 weeks ago. Have you heard back from USDA on that yet?
Yes, right before the shutdown, we got confirmation that they have that. And as you know, and so your listeners know, there's a literally almost a 1 year comment period where various stakeholder groups will come together based on our proposal and have time to public comment. So the formal rules on what that waiver will look like will happen literally about 11 months from now. So we've got time for folks who want to have some input to what that looks like to provide that input. It is a kind of living application. In other words, it can be changed as we go, but we sent in what we thought made sense based on what we were hearing from Missourians. And so we're excited to be able to open up doors to additional farmers, farmer markets, and healthy alternatives that we think that our waiver would do.
I'm sorry, I'm not as familiar with the process of the waiver and what that approval looks like. So this might be a really basic question. When you send it into USDA and they confirm that it's received, that means that they've approved it. Is that accurate?
That means they've started the process of when we can start kind of working through with them and with stakeholders in Missouri, in this case, of what the final product looks like. We've now put forward what we'd like the waiver to look like. But again, there's a time now period for several months where public comment can be received, and it is a living and breathing application. And what I mean by that is it can be tweaked and tuned as we move forward. The final rule and what the waiver and what our Missouri piece will look like will happen roughly on October 1st of 2026.
Thank you for clarifying. How soon do you expect the Trump administration to get back to Missouri on this rural health transformation plan?
Well, they have to finish it by the end of this calendar year. So it's on a very, very quick process. And so we actually were able to get our application in a day early. That doesn't sound like much, but we didn't want to be crowded with everybody else who was going to be putting it in on the last day, which is today. November 5th, we actually submitted it late in the evening on November 4th. So might sound like a little semantics, but we wanted to make sure that if there was any problems, we could hear from them first thing this morning. We haven't, and so we're really confident. And again, a big thanks to our team who really made that happen.
So Missouri, if I understand you right, Missouri has guaranteed $100 million through this transformation plan that can help do what Missouri is proposing to do. But then Missouri is also eligible possibly for another $100 million to be determined.
That's correct. That's part of the second $25 billion tranche. That's part of the big, beautiful bill. And we're in competition with other states. We think our application looks very good, and we think it's very complete. It's accomplished what Secretary Kennedy and Dr. Oz and the Trump administration, I think, really wanted when it came out to rural health care. And a shout out to Senator Hawley and Senator Schmidt, who, as that bill, big, beautiful bill, went through the Senate, they were very much in favor of trying to make sure we had a provision where states could compete to get additional resources specifically to expand rural health care. This would be a great shot in the arm for us to do that.
Governor, before I transition a little bit here, is there anything else you want to say about the plan?
We're excited about what our plan looks like. We'd encourage folks who are interested to go to our website. You can see the cover letter that we sent in. The plan is very complicated and long and in depth, and anybody's obviously welcome to look at that. But the summary letter really shows what we think we're putting in our best foot forward. And again, thank you to all the stakeholder groups, both rural and urban, but that really weighed in and trying to help us make this application be the best that the department received.
Thank you. The federal government shutdown continues. We are starting to see nutrition benefits impacted across the country, even in Missouri. I know USDA said that they would do a partial payment of SNAP benefits. How is that affecting Missourians?
Well, let me first say this could be solved very easily if a handful of Democrats would decide to keep the government open and vote on a continuing resolution that they voted on, I think, over 10, maybe as high as 13 times in the past. It's ridiculous we're at this point. It's very frustrating we're at this point. And Missourians and Americans, this is the worst about government. They want things to continue and people to leave the government open. And my first line of defense and hope is that we get the votes we need to open the government back up. As far as the additional information that's come out this week from a court ruling, USDA has provided some high-level input of what those SNAP benefits could look like. But I know our department will be putting something out within the next 12 to 24 hours with more details on how Missouri families could take advantage of this kind of bridge program until the government does open back up.
But it will affect, you know, there will be people in Missouri then that go without benefits in some way, shape, or form.
Well, that has happened since, you know, unfortunately, since November 1st. That's why we've been encouraged folks to participate and work with local food pantries and food banks. That's gone over very well. And as you know, we brought some money up early from both the TANF program for food banks and for the AAAs, the area aging agencies, to make sure our seniors had some resources. We made that announcement last week. So we've done what the state can do. We don't have a mechanism for the state to put money onto a SNAP card because it goes through a federal bank. But we are anxious to see what these interim steps can be that we'll be publicizing the details of, like I said, in the next 12 to 24 hours. And really what we want is the government to open back up so that this problem is not, does not affect. I don't know why Democrats want to take care of illegal aliens versus people's health and food needs. But for some reason, they're dug in on that. And I think it's, I'm not a real partisan person, but I personally think this problem is just absolutely ridiculous.
Well, and as you know, separately here, but also, you know, looking at what's happening in Washington, D.C., there's been a lot of trade news coming out of Washington in the last week. You know, and we're today, even the Supreme Court is hearing arguments on whether President Trump's tariff use was legal. A lot to we could probably dive into, but just for time's sake, we don't have a ton of time. I saw that I was reading somewhere, I think, where you had talked to the president about trade with Argentina and what it might mean for cattle in the United States. What did the president have to say?
Yeah, I talked to Secretary Rollins and Undersecretary Fordyce from Missouri. By the way, we're extremely proud to have him there. But I did talk to President Trump as a Missouri producer, and I made that clear to him. Less about me being one of your governors of one of your 50 states, but as a Missouri producer, Missouri cattlemen and women are incredibly good at what they do. And the market conditions, I just wanted to make the point that market conditions have largely been driven by increased demand and drought in our state over the last 3 years and other cattle producing states to where our herd sizes are shorter. And so the demand is high and the supply is low. That's a basic economic theory of what's going to create pricing. And I just wanted to let him know that Missouri producers are the best in the United States. We know how to do this. We're going to increase our herd size. We're going to continue to feed Americans. You've seen Secretary Kennedy actually have beef at the center of his plate as far as what proteins would be good for all Americans to lead a healthier diet. And I just wanted to reassure him that the cattle industry in the U.S. and then specifically in Missouri stands ready to make sure we continue to produce a great product.
Does he understand the impacts of a social media post lowered beef prices and, you know, cattle producers haven't had very many profitable years?
Well, I certainly hope so. That did come across in our conversation that where was everybody from 2000 to 2021 when we were literally beef producers were getting our brains beat out. So we've been able to sustain a little bit margin in the business the last 2 or 3 years. Unfortunately, you know, our row crop farmers on the other side of that, his negotiations with trade and what we see him do with China are very good. And I know that the soybean industry, I talked to one of the national soybean guys this morning in St. Louis, they're very happy that the progress has been made. And look, the president knows how to make deals so America wins. And American farmers and Missouri farmers like how the Trump administration wants to make sure we're on the winning side of these trade deals. And yes, to answer your question, I do believe he understands that sometimes a social media post can affect a market in a negative way. And when it comes to agriculture, my encouragement is talk to your governors that are active in the ag business, Secretary Rollins and others. They have a really good pulse of what's going on family farms all across the United States, including here in Missouri.
Okay. Anything else you want to add on the trade piece that we've gotten so much news over in the last week, or anything else you want to say in general?
Yeah, I'm very optimistic. I said this to our agriculture group that I spoke to in St. Louis this morning, and I'll be seeing one in Kansas City in the next few weeks, is farmers are resilient. We've been through droughts. We've been through floods. We've been through trade deals in the past. We've been through ups and downs. Agriculture families that I know, I love them because they are so powerful. They hit the highs and lows. They know how to handle it, and they figure out a way to continue to work and provide that food to get to our plate on our table. And I don't want to make light of the situation and the tough time that some of our row crop farmers and others have had. But agriculture producers and families are resilient. That's what makes our country and our state great. And I'm confident that the agriculture community, with the leadership from the administration, maybe some additional great trade deals, will come through this in a very good position.
Have you heard, are cotton producers going to benefit? We know so very little details about this U.S. and China trade framework.
Yes, the cotton producers, as you know, are really struggling, especially our Missouri cotton producers, but cotton producers all across the Delta region where we primarily have it. What I know at a very high level, I don't know the details, just like you say, is that there are some stipulations for that product in the commodity pricing part of the trade group. So I'm hopeful that there's some additional cotton material acquired that would help stabilize that and let the cotton growers do what they do best.
Thanks, Governor, for your time. I appreciate it.